Hallelujah. Jesse, we can do it, right?
We wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait to see your face.
Listen. E or E flat. In Jesus' name, you can be seated.
It is the God.
Somebody tell me how many minutes I have so that I will know how to structure myself. Tell me how long I have. Tell me how long I have. Hallelujah. John. The book of John. It is a little. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 16. Do we project? Can I walk with you? Can we? Or should I run? John chapter 16 verse 12. John chapter 16 verse 12. Turn with me. If you are there, say amen. I have many of my friends here. Some of them I've never met them physically, but they have been my friends for long. Some of them are the people we met when we labored in Futo. The land was dry those days we came on. It was after that meeting that many people started coming to that campus. God will help us. The kind of labor we went into to come to that meeting. You have heard me preach that I was going for a meeting and I prayed for 20 hours. It was that meeting. So sometimes you don't measure the impact of a program by how many people that are there, probably the things that happen. We might have to travel to the mother realm. Do you know what is the mother realm? Do you know where? What's your name? I need to say some things before we fly, because there is what we call the mother realm. Let me give you an example. Have you seen a young child of, let's say, 7 years that is possessed with the spirit of witchcraft? And then probably you are the teacher in the class. And then you touch the child. The child told the teacher, I will show you. And then in the night they slapped you. You woke up with a swollen face, headache, sickness down, your health is down. I want to ask, how was the young child of 7 able to do that? Huh? How? Meanwhile, if we come to the physical, you can bring the child and flog he or she. But the child had a place where he had more power than you. So that even with your strength in the natural, you were not able to do anything about the matter. It is an indication of the fact that there must be a realm, there must be a place where men can gain superiority. It so happens that in that realm, that young child of 7 is more educated than you. So no matter how bogus you are in the natural, in the flesh, men that are educated in the spirit, irrespective of their age, are elders. So elders in the things that matter is not necessarily by physical age. It's how long have you done business in the realm of the spirit? So all the child did was to say, like one man that was living in USA, they just did one charm in the village, brought the thing and did like this. Okay, come back. You are not with me. So the guy was maybe on the streets of Los Angeles. You like US, right? You don't like US? You don't like US? Okay, who likes US? Good. There must be a city you like the most. Like Los Angeles is the city of angels. My God. So somebody has already made it there 20 years ago. Before you are still planning to go there, somebody has made it. And then they brought something from the village. And they did, okay, come back. And the man suddenly did like this. Picked his bag, picked his passport, started coming back. The only time he remembered himself was when he took a nylon bag and stepped into his father's compound, empty-handed. I said, how were they able to do it? I thought OKK is in USA. And the distance in the natural should mean that he has already been free from the impact of whatever that is bedeviling him. It so happened that in the realm of the spirit, that physical distance counts for nothing. So you can sleep with a witch, but in the spirit, there is a lot of distance between you and the witch. But you can stay in Lagos and the witch is in the village. As far as the witch is concerned, you are close. Because he can send things and it will work. So back to what we are saying. I'm trying to explain to you what is the mother realm and the impact. You see, this physical realm is more like an executionary realm, where when men cook things in the spirit, this realm can't stop itself from yielding to the demands of the spirit realm. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. So when you are, I need to teach you why, by the time we are through, you understand the emphasis, the purpose, and the direction of what we do in the body of Christ. So that, you know, many of the things we do has been based on results. If you don't have results, if you don't have quick impact, if you don't have, that means you don't understand what God wants to do upon the face of the earth. And the part that you are supposed to play, there is what we call the eternal purposes of God. Before you came upon the face of the earth, there is something God wanted to do. Is it not true? As a matter of fact, you were created for that purpose. How many of you at least you know that one? Is it not true? You are created for the purposes of God. The question is, what are these purposes of God? Are they time-based? And my sister, are they time-based? Because the one that created these things and created you, his frame of reference is beyond time. He was the one that met Abraham and said that he called himself a name. He said that his name is El Shaddai. What was the meaning of El Shaddai? The all-sufficient one. I don't like this key. Jesse, you have not gotten me. You have not. And you used to get me. So he said that his name is the all-sufficient one. The one that sustains all things. And is not sustained by any. Nobody voted for him to become who he was. So when you want to relate with a being like that, how do you relate with him? You know, because an average believer, maybe some of you here, maybe they begged you to be in this program. They begged you to be in church. Somebody invited you and you wanted to please the person. You don't want to say no. You don't understand about the being that we talk about. We are just offspring. We are consequence of his desire. The Bible said that for his pleasure we were made. So somebody wanted to have pleasure and then you came. What kind of being is that? That means your existence upon the face of the earth is subject to his desires. There is no possibility of you fulfilling your days except you had a recourse to the one that is eternal in scope. That was the one that Abraham encountered. And the scripture said that he called him the all-sufficient one. Because in those days, he fought with the five kings of Canaan. And when he finished, they wanted to give him things. He said, I don't want anything from you. So that somebody will not come tomorrow and say he helped Abraham to become who he is. That's the God we speak about. So maybe as you are here, you think maybe when you worship him, he adds to his sense of being. When you serve him, he adds anything. No. Let me tell you why God insists that you will love him. Because he knows that when you don't love him, you are the one that is being cheated out. He's not losing anything. It is because of the fact that he knew that your existence and fulfillment is tied to your relationship with him. That is why he made sure that you love him. He is not losing anything. Any man that is existing outside of that love is a man that is living below his potentials. God knows that you cannot benefit from him. So who is losing? Let me give you an example. Remember those days you were young, and then maybe your mother or father did something to you, and then they flogged you. You have done it. They flogged you, say you won't eat that night. You won't eat. And you slept. See, the reason why your mother came to wake you up again, because she knew that you are the one that will suffer. They have nothing to lose. Are you getting the point? That you didn't eat that night because they flogged you. Who is losing? If it extends, no school fees. If it extends, you will be on the street. Like somebody, the mother, father flogged him. He said, you are no more my father. In fact, I'm leaving. The father called him and said, come and take transport fare so that you will go. When the small child, when he reached the street and the car did, he ran back and said, my daddy, my daddy. I pray that many of you will run back. Will run back. Because, many of you will run back. You will hear the echoes from Zion. It is a beckoning. Come, 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 come. Come, so that I will show you deep things. See, this life is beyond this thing we are doing. There are men that rule this world, and they rule because of the things they know and the places that they have entered. The things that is operational when they stand. Like, I know you won't believe it, but as I'm standing with you here, my feet is not at OG. My feet is at heavenly places as I'm standing. These are functions. Probably this, my sister, is doubting it. I pray that you doubt it so that it will now happen. If you hold the mic too much, it will off by itself. Hallelujah. I want us to do small Bible study before we fly. Because something heavy is coming. It's coming. So when you worship God, what do you intend to do? Before you came, how was he surviving? That was the question you asked yourself. How has God been surviving? Before you now said, Father, I worship you today. I bring this yam for Thanksgiving. I bring this thing. How has he been surviving? Have you ever asked yourself? It was the revelation of Paul that we began to understand what is really at work. That God, what kind of being is that man? The scripture said that he is the one that is at work in you, both to will and to do. Is expo. What he's trying to say, Paul is trying to say is that God gives you expo. So imagine you are supposed to give exams to your pupils and you are a teacher. And this week you taught them everything you are going to set in exam. That is what it means to say that God is the one that is at work. That is a working in you, both to will and to what? Do. So anytime we see a doing, a working in the heart of a man that is accurate and aligned to the purposes of God, it is a proof that God is the one that engineered it.
and came back and supplied the energy for you to live your days. So somebody wakes up in the night and says, I feel I want to do this. Today I want to make decision for Jesus. Let me give my life to Christ. The reality is that it is Christ. He is the one that gave his life to you. The day you find out that your life is worth nothing, that you are owing, such that even if you die, it will not be able to pay for the debt that you are owing. It will take a man to pay for you. So even your life that you are giving to Christ is so, they will throw it away because it's not useful to you. A new life will have to come, and that one is from him. So the truth is that everything we are doing, he gave you, came back, helped you, came back, is leading you. Everything is about him. We need to know him. That's why I need to introduce the mother realm. Do you know why I'm telling you this? I was born in church. My father is a pastor. And for almost 20 years, I was going to church. I was teaching Sunday school. I was praying, even fasting. But I never knew God. His essence was far from me. The things that move the people of the world still move me. Their pursuit is my pursuit. You don't know God. The things that move them, where they hope to attain tomorrow, is where you hope to attain. And all your energy is expended pursuing those matters. You don't know God. I think you need to be ferried to the mother realm so that you find out, why are you here in the beginning? Somebody is existing without needing any help, and suddenly he came to a point and said, I want relationship and sons. Then you need to know why you came, because the scripture said, for his pleasure you were made. Why are you here? Why are you here? From the fall to the time of Noah, the Bible was recording that men lived and died. Some of them 960 years. They lived, died, married children. That's what you want to do. I'm sorry, I'm not insulting our fathers, but you want to recycle something your great grandfather did. He married, got children. He was laboring to feed them, built house. Then your grandfather did it. Then your father did it. That's where you are running to now. That's where you're heading. That's where you are heading. Is it not clear? That's where you're heading. You need to stop. Ask question. When are we going to break away from this cycle? Is this all that life has to offer? Is this why we are here? I thought the interjection of eternity by the new birth, the new life we received in Christ Jesus, is supposed to bring a tangent. You're an engineer. You know what is a tangent? When life is moving in cycles, we need a tangent. So an encounter with the Holy One of Zion is supposed to take us through a tangent and bring us to the frontiers of the purposes of God that is traveling from eternity into time. Today you will cry, why am I here? Because many of the empowerments and the things you see, you don't know yourself. That's why and because you don't know yourself, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you fast, no matter how you even desire God to use you, he will not yet use you, because you have not yet seen yourself in the mother realm. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, he said, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew thee. It's not when you enter, he said, before you enter. Sister, there is the one that God knew. The Bible was speaking in the book of Romans chapter 8. He called it predestination and foreknowledge. So there is a foreknowledge, a knowledge that pre-existed before we came upon the face of the earth. So for a man like Jeremiah, he said, you are a prophet. So any kind of life that Jeremiah lived on this earth that is not consistent with the foreknowledge that being that created everything for his purpose had for him is an effort in futility. As a matter of fact, the resources, the equipment, the relationships, the places that you are supposed to be, you will never find yourself there. So many days when we are in campus, God have to give us, now, okay, let me not say that, because I believe in excellence. So I don't like people giving excuses. Okay, there are people that actually took jam 5 times. Do you know the only reason why? So that God could get their attention. For example, my sister wanted to go to IMSU by all means. Everybody is going to UNN. What was this UNN? She always want to run away. Youth service, she want to run to the north. All the time she want to run away. Run far. Guess what? Anytime she becomes correct with God, she's always around. Something will pull her. She took jam many times. She high score, no admission. Until she said, Jesus help me. Anywhere you are going, we are going. The next one, she got admission to UNN. Entered there. Before you know it, she found herself in a fellowship. Before you know it, she became foundation school, whatever. These are the things, exactly the opposite of the kind of life she wants to live. She has tried all her life. For 7-8 years, she was trying to live a different kind of life. And there was no resources to power that kind of life. There was nothing on earth to power that kind of life. Until a day came, she had to surrender to Jesus. Today, she has found out that she is a high priestess of the kingdom of God. And the kind of incense that she offers on the altar, when you see her pray, she doesn't recognize herself. She has become a different being. I say you don't know yourself. We need to travel to the mother realm. And the only way we can be correct in administrating your days is when we make reference to the books that were written before you came. I said there is such a thing as the eternal studio. That is what God ferried Jeremiah to see. He said, before you came here, we know you. So they own movie for him. He began to watch. The content of that movie, the script that was written about him, was what he watched. And after watching it, he came back to this plane and he began to live a different kind of life. Have you ever wondered the kind of life that Jesus lived? Anytime he appeared, he will say, as it is written concerning me, I am come to fulfill the days. So every step of the way that this man is living is a fulfillment of God's agenda. When you live that kind of life, you can't die. People don't die because people are, corona is around or whatever. No, you die because you are out of purpose. You are out of context. You are disaligned from the administration of heaven. It was Jesus that they met. Somebody like Paul, Jesus, they want to kill him. He said, the Son of Man have the capacity to both lay down his life and take it. But he has decided to lay it down for your sake. That is how men... Can you imagine that kind of audacity? You can also talk like that. I can tell men, somebody like me cannot die. How can you be moving on the road, you now die? You are in what level now? Eh? You are safer. Have you done NYSE? How can you go to the north and die? I know some of you don't like that word, north. I know so many of your friends that their parents fought them for long. It was when they saw some small things happening around their life, they now believed. Let me show you something. And then we begin to pray. Let's see where the Holy Ghost will take us. This, my pulpit, looks very far. Are we going to fly today? Just in the middle here. John chapter 16 verse 12. If you are there, say amen. Read for us. John chapter 16 verse 12. Okay, they have projected it. You know why I did this? I will not tell you. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye
cannot bear them. What? So, there are two keywords here. Number one is bear. Number two is now. If you are with me, say amen. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, oh boy, I want to talk. Oh. But as you say now, wait till we want to talk. If I tell you now, if you say, because some people come and meet me, many people want to, they say, sir, I want to have time with you. It took me that period of my life to actually understand better what Jesus was saying here. Some people come and tell you, sir, I need 1 hour from me. Why do you need 1 hour from me? Okay, let's talk. And the person will speak for 20 minutes. You will now understand that this scripture is correct. If I give you 1 hour now, what are we going to discuss? What do you possibly think will be the topic of our discussion? Somebody give him mic so that his generation will hear him. Aika Bahasai, fire before you. Ah, Jesus. I say fire will fall. We'll just do our part, continue teaching, speaking until the Holy Ghost now come. We'll clear, we'll just leave the stage for him. So that become obvious that even if you want to discuss with me, you won't know how to sustain a discussion. Because you don't know my desire. You don't know what moves me. You can think it's Bible. Only for you to be discussing Bible, and what you are discussing is OP. Do you know what is OP? That alone will even off point, will off me completely. So if I still stayed, it's maybe because I looked at your heart and I saw sincerity, and I knew it's only a matter of time. And that is why Jesus said, you can't bear them now. That word now is a reference to time. A season. Are you with me? It's a reference. So Jesus said, I have many things to say, but you can't bear them. He didn't say you can't hear. Are you with me? Oh, Jesus said, you can't bear, not you can't hear. Do you know what it means? It means that as you are now, you have heard enough. Unfortunately, you lack the capacity to bear. Because, see, we live by the truth we know. And this kind of knowledge is not head knowledge. Is in Greek, is not the knowledge of awareness. Is the knowledge of apprehension. So there is knowledge of awareness. For example, what is the color of my shoe? You see, you are aware. Are you with me? But I'm not sure you know how this shoe was made. What is inside? The materials. How much time it took. Who made it? All these things are specific knowledge. By the time you are through with apprehending them, the scripture calls that kind of knowledge in Greek epignosis, a knowledge that is complete. Are you with me? An entire. That means concerning that matter, you have apprehended all that pertains to it. And I need to tell you, actually part of that knowledge, awareness is part of it, but it is just the gateway to the real knowledge. Information is gateway to revelation. In other words, I'm saying if there is no information, there is no possibility of revelation. So I know people downplay information, but you only had revelation because there was information. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Oh, hey, God will help us today. Now listen, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, things about your life, scrolls, deep matters. Like when I was in the university those days, December 2011, I was in my 400 level. I went to Vet Mountain. There is a place called Vet Mountain. Remind me your name again. you are in UNN, you know Vet Mountain. There is, that place has been like that since the Civil War. So I went there and I saw men that went there. I went to fast for 5 days with my friend those days, who is a fellowship vice president. He's the one that dragged me to that place. Meanwhile, I was the one that God was looking for. So forget the fact that somebody invited you here. You can be the one that God is looking for actually. It's not the person that brought you. It has been something that is consistent over time in the body of Christ, actually. Have you heard of somebody like Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn didn't want to go to Catherine Kuhlman meeting. It was his friend Jim Pointer that invited him. Jim told him, as soon as they opened the door, run, don't look back, or somebody will match you. So Benny continued running. And when he came to the front and sat down in second pew like this, he said, Catherine was saying many things until she said, just a moment. And then the whole atmosphere changed. He said, it seemed as if somebody touched him. And tomorrow morning he said, good morning, Holy Spirit. A generation has not recovered from that encounter. That was how I went to Vet Mountain, and my friend, they invited me. We spent 5 days. And on the night before I went, the Lord gave me a scripture. He spoke to me. He said, I give you a mouth and a wisdom that men cannot gainsay. Anyway, you will not understand what God is saying if you don't know me before. I think you need to know me like 15 years ago. Like when I was 10 years. Do you know my name? I know this place is evil people. Do you know my name when I was small? My name is Chinelu. But if you are from Newi, as I am from Newi, they will call you Chiedu. So my name is Chiedu Woku. Do you know why? I was both introvert. Everything, low self-esteem, all of those things. So me and you, we can sit like this for 1 year. I can enjoy your company without necessarily talking with you. Only people that have experienced this can only know what I'm saying. So I can see people doing good things, doing things, and I'm enjoying what they are doing. Follow them now. The only thing I could do those days, I won't tell you. So when God told me, I give you a mouth and a wisdom, it was hard for me to believe. It took 8 years for that thing to manifest. Now, imagine if I did not enter into the place in God where my scrolls were downloaded. I will live forever on this earth below the mandate that God has ordained for me. I will just be another timid boy. People gave me advice. Thank God you are intelligent. Just make sure you make first class. And then get a job and they will put you inside one office and lock you up. And then they will waste your years. They said, the way you are now, don't go and disturb yourself. You are not good in social and all this. Don't go and disturb yourself. What you need is an office. Lo and behold, God had another plan. I say, the opinion of men is not correct unless they traveled to the mother realm. Many of the people that were with us in campus those days, that were fellowship president, they are not anywhere now. I'm not saying they are not. It's not just that they are not working with God. They are no more preaching. I say they are no more anywhere. Some of them are backsliding completely. It was then that we found out that what they held was a position. They didn't know God. May God help somebody here because of this thing I'm saying in the name of Jesus. Don't deceive yourself. They gave people position and called them out and said they are ministers. And I was not called out. Meanwhile, I was the one secretly discipling the people they called out and ordained. I felt bad. I went to report to God. Do you know what God told me? He said, oh boy, be careful. Lord. Is this the reason why I called you here? Go to the bush. I went to the bush. When I finished the 5 days, you know what God told me? I went and congratulated myself. I said, Lord, I fasted for 5 days. Let the heavens now tear down for me.
It was then that I realized that the 5 days fasting was to download the grace for fasting. You didn't hear me. I said it takes fasting to receive grace for fasting. And it takes prayer to receive grace for prayer. It takes studies, Bible study, to receive grace for studies. So it's in praying we pray more. It's in fasting we fast more. It's in studying we study more. So you have never prayed and you don't care to come to any prayer meeting. And you are saying, no, God, help me to pray. You are a joker. You will stay till your destiny will die. And you need to know that the fulfillment of destiny is time-based. Even though it is coming from the eternal realm. But because we are in this realm, you have to fulfill it within a time period. Imagine if God called you to do certain things in your campus. And by the time you now say, God, send me, you are in your final. In fact, when you said, God, send me, was when you now notice that from the amount of carryover you have, is extra year. How many of you have graduated? You have graduated. You didn't have extra year, right? You are a blessed man. May God continue to uplift you in Jesus' name. But your story cannot help us now. There are people that God finally got the attention because they got that. And they now said, when they got carried over, they now said, God, whatever you want to do with me, do. Don't pray that kind of prayer, because it means that even if you take the exam again, you will fail. Because what you should have given God is a minimum of 2 years complete service in campus, and you ran away. When carryover now heard you, he said, God, do with me whatever you want. And when he checked, he saw that what it will take for you to even measure up to minimum bare standard is 2 more years. So when you pray, you fast and read your book, pray. One man, like the one we have in UNN, is a man that is in chemistry department. What are you studying? That man, the name you called now, he is the man. So, that man will come and tell you that your destiny is in his hands. Imagine, a human being say your destiny is in his hands. So he will tell carryover student that he can decide to pass you or leave you. So that you just wrote another exam doesn't mean you have passed. But let me tell you, if it will take that for God to get your attention, it's good. It took Moses 40 years in the wilderness and then a burning bush for God to get his attention. Do you know, even in the case of Moses, he has known that God called him. But something happened and he now ran away. I said, hey, let them be doing this calling thing. So this call is not for us. Let's go and make money. Let's go and, you know. There are many skills Moses had beyond the calling. Just like some of us, when we are younger, I know you don't believe it's easy, but I can play football too. And I can play very well. I thought I saw you with football. One picture you were posting on WhatsApp. I've forgotten. Is it not true? There is one I saw it. I used to play well, very well. So there is a possibility of me trying to fulfill my destiny on that line, and you will never see me here. I said, God, if he needs to draw your ear like this, do you know God can draw your ear? Sometimes the meaning of this thing I did for God is one carryover. My guy said, yeah. That's what it means. Sometimes the meaning is no school fees. When you didn't see the school fees, you now start praying and fasting. You can even go to 40 days fasting. I say you don't need 40 days fasting to receive school fees. But God has been seeking for priesthood from your life. And you have refused to yield to priesthood. So he has to take school fees to get your attention to pray and fast. And when you are doing that, you think it's about school fees. When you are through with that 40 days, stop now. That's when you will now notice that you can't stop. That you have touched something. There is something about God. When you find God, he will leave for you a cry for more. Except it's not God you found. Well, if it is God that you found, by the time you are leaving, a cry will be in your heart. More, more, Lord. More, more. There has to be more. Do you know why I'm saying this? The challenge of Jesus in this scripture is not revelation. His challenge was not utterance. What was his challenge? What does it mean? What does it mean that they can't bear it? Let me ask the people that are looking like men of God. If you look like man of God, the way you cross your leg like this. So what does it mean that they can't bear it? A man of God. That's part they can't understand. That's part. But not really. Let's find men and women of God. My God, Afana. So what does it mean that they can't bear it? The word I'm taking from what you said is that they can't find interaction with it. You see, they don't have the tools to interact with that level of information, with that level of truth. Are you getting the point? This is what it means. What's the brand of this television now? LG. What's another television brand? Samsung. And then you brought Samsung remote. What will happen? It will never respond to you. What's the challenge? The two of them are not compatible. So the capacity to interact with each other is not there. Especially as of that moment. Anyway, Jesus promised them that in the regime of the Spirit, show me the next verse, that in the regime of the Spirit, that insufficiency, that gap in interaction will be bridged. He said, how be it, or however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you what? Things to come. God wants to show you something today. And I want you to pray in 30 seconds. May my heart not be a hindrance to your revelation, to your insight. That is all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find a prayer point. I know you know how to find prayer point, but after prayer ministry of more than 10 years, I have found out that the hardest thing to get is prayer points. Why will God be saying the things that I need to administrate my destiny and I lack the capacity to interact with them? Layers of truth, revelations, insight. Sometimes scrolls are downloaded from the archives of God, and all that is written there is how you need to run your life. The template of your destiny, the ordinations, the things captured, the mandate. Whenever you find it, then everything you are seeking will come as a result of the fact that you have aligned to the scrolls. But you are not able to interact with it. Ask God, do something to my heart so that it will receive the capacity to interact with your truth at whatever layer that you decide to reveal it. Pray for just 30 more seconds. Pray. Your destiny and future might depend on this, your prayer. If this is your prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. The same John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 4. John chapter 13, verse 4. He riseth from supper. When is this? What's your name?
Done. This is Jesus and his disciples. He said, when he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. The next verse. After that, he poured water into a vessel and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Next verse. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So this is our golden scripture. Go back. This is our golden scripture. Jesus was telling Peter, what we are doing now, you don't know. It will not let him. It will not let him. I met a man many years ago when I was doing youth service. And the man came to minister to us in our orientation camp at Shagam. When the man spoke, my heart burned. Something in me is telling me that this thing this man is saying is correct and I need it. When the man finished, he looked. Seems as if I didn't get everything. You know what he said? So some of you that is hearing me, it will take you 5 years. Some of you 3 years. Some of you 2 years. To actually enter into the experience of an understanding of what I'm saying. Say, who is this? I say, who is this guy, sir? Do you know who we are? Do you know what we have done? Before I came to you, service, you need to know. Some of us touched fire early. Well, not early, but we touched fire in campus. When I had encounter with Jesus, some people had encounter and God gave them many things. Me, it was power. I finished from that encounter, went to prayer meeting, held hands, everybody fell. Everybody. I didn't even know it was coming from my angle. Me, I wanted to fall my own. Because I was wondering how everybody will fall and me, I'm not falling. They stood up, we held hands, they fell the second time. I started saying, it's possible this thing is coming from my side. So when I entered youth service, I entered like a king. I came with a limp. You know who we are. We are men, the custodians of heavenly mandate. Actually, when you begin to enter into things in God, you will be humbled by how much you are far from where you are supposed to be. Let me stop here. So when the man finished speaking, I said, who is this man? Do you know who we are? The things we have. We speak and the anointing come. We. Guess what? It took me 3 years to understand what that man said. Me. I don't know about others. So, and that is because it's me. There are many of us those days that have not entered it till now. And this is that was 2014. 6 years they have not entered it. 6 years. So this is what we need. This is my golden scripture. If I can explain it and you can understand it, then we pray and then come back for fire and miracle will give me. Have fire burned you to the point that you are asking for water to quench it? I know you don't believe this dimension. I've been in a meeting and fire started burning. A lady, she was fair, a fair damsel. And when the fire came, the lady became red. You know, red. Because the fire was literal, spiritual, but it was literal. She was calling my name and said, what did you do to me? I am burning. And then when I noticed what was happening, and I told anybody that touched her as of that moment collected fire. Everybody that touched her. It was when many people now collected fire, her own now normalized. So what she received was overdose.
more than she can carry. I said, there is such a thing as that. Sometimes the fire will come on me those days, and I thought it will burn in my heart so much, I would think my heart will fall off. I will literally hold it with my hand like this, so that I will be looking for my heart. Has it fallen off? This my sister doesn't believe me. May the fire come from from heaven in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says that he has made his angels spirits and his ministers what? Flames of fire. That is the morphology of the man that ever decided to represent God. If you have ever stood in the capacity to represent God, you have a morphology, you have a shape. I don't care what you are doing for God. If at all it was God you were standing for, I say I choose to believe the scripture beyond what you think. He said he has made his angels spirit. He's made. You know what he's making? Making is molding. The making. You are made into fire and you are not burning. Where is your fire? Sister, where is your fire? I said we must find the fire today. Oh. Amen. Somebody help me. Where are we? No, go back. Go back. Somebody help me. Who has been following me well? How did we get here? How did we? Huh? Okay. If your Bible is your own, is this your Bible? Just go to this scripture. Go to that place that Jesus started. Take something like this. Go to hereafter. Take some. If it's not your own, don't do it. Many people, they don't have Bible. If they have, somebody gave them. Don't touch somebody's Bible, my friend. So, next verse. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Thou hast no part with me. No, back. Cheesy, if your Bible is your own, underline, thou hast no part with me. My brother, where is your Bible? You are a magician, oh. At least you have on your phone now. Use the one on your phone. Be highlighting it. Okay. You can highlight on your phone now. Mm-hmm. So highlight, thou hast no part with me. We are going to come back to these matters. That's what we need to discuss in the next 30 minutes. Next verse. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. These guys. This guy. Is a bit waiting in the top. He said, if you want to wash me, make you cook man wash everything. The guy is missing the point. And should I tell you, even you have been missing the point. I know you think you know this scripture. Okay, when we finish reading, I will give you mic to explain it. Then you will see you don't know what is here. Next verse. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needed not save. You can't imagine the mysteries that are locked up here. Jesus is speaking about matters that are heavy, and he must say it, but it so happens that the plane of their interaction is still low, but he still need to say it, hoping for the regime of the spirit. Remember, the Bible says that when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. What does it mean? That means that there is a regime that is called the regime of the Holy Spirit, and the way he communicates is different. You see, man communicates by speaking to your ear, but the Holy Spirit communicates by living the substance and reality of that communication. It will now be you that will testify about the essence of that communication. This is what I mean. For example, the Holy Spirit wants you to pray. Huh? Do you know what he will do? He will communicate the essence of prayer. What is the essence of prayer? Burden. So instead of telling you, my daughter, pray, in case you don't know, even if they tell you to pray, you can't pray. But if they leave burden in your heart, you will pray. Are you getting? This is the clearest way I will show you how the Holy Spirit communicates. So the Holy Spirit does not communicate necessarily after the hearing. He communicates by the essence of the reality. So what we are looking at is the concept of prayer, and the essence is the body thereof. So when the Holy Spirit wants to communicate that, all he needs to do is to leave a burden in your heart. And by so doing, he has left the essence of praying. So when burden has been left in the heart of men, and they want to speak about the expression of that burden, the only way they can speak and express it is through what? Is through what? Meanwhile, what the Holy Spirit communicated was burden, but his expression was prayer. So instead of the Holy Spirit coming to tell you, bro, pray for 2 hours, he will leave a burden in your heart sufficient enough to keep you on your knees for two hours. By the time you are getting up, 2 hours has been accomplished. Is it not communication? Now, this is the communication that you can interact with. That is why Jesus was saying, I have many things, but you can't bear them. And aside the fact that there is a new teacher now, even the heart of men were not structured enough in that time to interact with the things of the Spirit, because it took regeneration for our spirit man to be quickened to the Spirit of God. In regeneration, there are 3 major things that happen. Our sins were remitted, we were justified, and then made alive unto God. So that made alive unto God means that as of now, you have received the capacity to interact with divine matters. So, and divine matters are communicated by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is now tabernacling with your spirit, as the scripture said, that he that is joined with Christ is one spirit with him. That scripture is talking about the concept of mingling. How many of you, when you were small, you have mixed Coke and Fanta before? Have you done it? Who has done it now? Your sister have Coke and then you have Fanta, and then you want to find out how the two taste together, and then you bring one cup and pour Coke and then pour Fanta. The mixture you have, is it Coke? Is it Fanta? Are you now getting the point? So this is what happened when in regeneration your spirit was merged with the Spirit of God. So in this plane of oppression now, all God needs to do is to communicate whatever he wants to do through his spirit in your spirit. So all the Holy Spirit needs to do is to show you what he's feeling, and your spirit will feel it. Meanwhile, it will have to come to the realm of your soul and mind for you to interpret in cognitive terms what the Spirit have communicated. But most times you don't need to interpret. So all you need to do is that I have a burden in my heart. So you kneel down. Or you kneel down to express the burden that the Spirit left in your spirit. Are you getting my point? That thing that he left in your spirit, is it not a communication? In an attempt to express that communication, you now pray. So instead of the Holy Spirit telling you, remind me your name, Favor, pray, 2 hours, pray, you are not praying, pray. What do I say? I didn't say pray. I say pray. It's not the same thing. I say pray and pray. Are they the same thing? Me and you know that they are not the same thing. Are they the same thing? If you say praise, you are like speaking grammar. You know? When you say pray, is warning. Is it not true? Pray is warning. Anyway, for me, that's God. But for me, if you like, don't pray. You're on your own. Meanwhile, this is how the Holy Spirit now tells you, pray. He will not leave a burden in your heart. If you want to leave, you want to go and gist with your friend, watch television, do many things. The thing is there, is worrying you. You can't explain it. It has happened to you before. It has happened to you. Raise your hand. Until you now went, you prayed for 1 hour and wanted to leave. The thing has not left. It has happened to you before. Then you now prayed for 2. It has not left. For some of us, we might have to pray for 3. For some of us. I know you.
you are not there, even though you are supposed to be there. We will pray for three and he has not left. For some of us, I know you are not there, but even though you are supposed to be there, some of us, we pray four, we pray five, six, seven, and he's still there. For some of us, I know you are not there, even though you are supposed to be there. Some of us, we pray eight, and he's still there. You are supposed to be there, even though you are not there. You are not part of this discussion. You can stay where you are, though you are supposed to be there. Some of us, we pray 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. This is my guy, don't be laughing. That thing is not... I'm telling you that, as you are now, all this my story you have heard is a proof that you are stronger than me. I say you don't know yourself. I'm a proof of what transformation the Holy Spirit can bring to a man, the life of a man that cries out to him. I don't have any option. As you do so, you still get many options. You still have, you have skills, you have things you can do, you have ways to get by. But the Holy Ghost is my all and all. Except I make the resources that he has given to me work, I don't have any other option. This thing must work. Sister, it must work. Turn to your neighbor, ask your neighbor, as you are planning to stop praying, your plan is to stop praying, what will you do when you stop? If your neighbor doesn't respond, tell me, let me come and ask the person myself. As you are planning to stop praying, what's your next plan now? You are stopping prayer, what's the next plan? Let's find out from this sister. Bring Mike. What's your next plan, sister, as you are stopping prayer? Do you want to do juju? If you prayed and nothing happened, what will you do? This is my sister. She still they do shakara. You have time. Some of us, we are very old and we don't have time again. If you prayed and nothing happened, what will you do? And then after you kept praying, nothing happened. And then nothing happened. And then nothing happened. Now, wow. If you are the one, what would you do? You will stop, Abby. You got to talk to. Oh, guy, you go stop. You. Why they look so? Amen. For men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always. I used to doubt whether it is possible. But I've seen it's possible. My life is a proof. You can pray as much as you want. You know this way you breathe in and breathe out. That's how some of us pray. Sometimes I will even forget that I'm praying. As soon as I'm through with him, I want to do another thing. I've started praying. This my guy is not this. I used to struggle with 15 minutes. Wake up in the night. Pray after praying for long. I will now check the time. It will be 5 minutes. It has happened to you before. You pray. Kuka. When you finish with your sweat, you check time. You never reach 10 minutes. Even yourself, you'll be discouraged. But a day came. I said, let me just pray small. Holy Spirit, let me just do small prayer so that I will do other things. And I will start. You know, there are tongues that is like eating. And then when you eat, you now drink water. Oh. Hey! Shkabahaya! Me bahambre
If the things we speak is true, God will come to bear witness. That is why the Spirit is the Spirit of witness. The witness ministry of the kingdom is the only facility for authentication. So if it is true what we say, then there is need for authentication. And how does God authenticate? To bring witness. If what we need is the witness of power, then he will bring it. Okay, show me the next scripture. Sorry, let's go to 10. God bless you. You are correct. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needed not. God will help me to stick to my revelation because I've not touched it and I need to finish it. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week. And ye are clean, but not all. Ye are clean, but not all. Keep this one. But not all. The next verse. For he knew who should betray him. So whosoever is the remaining person is the one that should what? Betray him. Are you getting the point? You see, this scripture is saying something different from what you know. But I'm going to ask you a question. Jesus is giving clues up and down. But since I was born, this scripture has been interpreted into something different. Until we were doing Bible study after praying throughout the night. And the portals of revelation was open to us. It was in a parlor like this. And we did Bible study. We came into a layer of truth we never knew existed in this scripture, in this text. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So that we understand what we are saying. When he said ye are not all clean, he is talking about a person. Is it not true? That is what this scripture is trying to reemphasize. Next verse. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Second time, he is trying to reference your capacity to understand what he is doing. Sister, do you know what Jesus is doing? Don't answer, Pastor. The proof you know is how you live. The Bible said, knowing that the days are evil, what do we do? Cheesy. Knowing that the days are evil, what do we now do? What did he say? Yes, we walk circumspect. So let's say you know the days are evil and you are walking jaga jaga. Do you know anything? What you have is information. So the proof that men know is how they live. Are you getting the point? So let me stick here. And next verse. Let me Holy Ghost. Okay, next verse. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Next verse. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Next verse. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. I have 2 minutes to sample questions. So what is this scripture talking about? Somebody bring mic for him so that his generation will hear him. When I know one bring mic, we need to ask 2 people. And then that my guy that is like this, the way you are sitting like a man of God. So when Cheesy is through, we give you so that. That's how men of God sit now. You put your hand like this. No, sit down.
This scripture has been interpreted to mean that Jesus has said, the words I speak to you has cleansed you. But he needed to wash their feet because their feet was making interactions with the earth and the systems of the world. So he needed to wash them. That was why when Peter was saying we should wash the rest of his body, he said, he that is clean already need not bath, but needs to wash his feet.
So when he now said, this thing I'm doing for you, do it for others. Do you have the capacity to stop others from interacting with the world? So what kind, is this your revelation correct? Because you just said, are you getting? Did you hear what he said? In extension, if we want to extend your revelation, we don't hit roadblock already. And meanwhile, there is no scripture that has capacity to interpret itself privately. So if we would be correct, we need to fish other scriptures. Give that my God. He knows the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
We're looking at the scripture. Jesus Christ was trying to give them an example of the things that he wants them to do.
For example, example of humility.
Yes, and servanthood. Uh-huh. And how to serve others.
Yes.
And then he was now trying to explain to them that they should try as much as possible to follow,
yes,
his examples of how to serve others and not to be proud or show a kind of, I don't know how to put this, and show a kind of pride before others, their fellows. So the deal there, the main knowledge there is that they should try as much as possible just to follow and align to servanthood in order not to deviate from his
ways. So what if you say is that, so why didn't Jesus agree when Peter wanted to take over from him? If it was a revelation of humility, because that would have been the best proof. Are you getting the point? Peter wanted to take over from him. How can my master be here and I just sit down? And he's the one doing the work. Am I a guy? Let's find out what the scripture is saying. When we are true, then we ask God for maybe 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe you ask God for four witnesses. And then we come back for you, please. Just four. Okay, let's go back. Anyway, I used to answer this. So, not is me, I used to answer it. And I preach it with energy. And people are saying, wow, man of God. Oh, wow. But I was wrong. Let this man try. If you get it, then you have made my message short. I will just laugh.
Praise God.
Sit down. Don't worry. Relax.
Okay. The washing of the feet is the signification of washing them through the word.
One.
He was the same thing what he told them in John 15:3. He told them that now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. So washing their feet is just the physical signification of what he did through the word. And also if you go to Ephesians 5, sorry, I'm coming. Ephesians 5 verse 26. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So washing of that water, washing of their feet with water, is signifies washing them with the word. So he gave them charge that the same thing he has done to them, they should do to others.
This looks nice, but it's not correct. Do you know why? I want to show you a verse here. Because that one you are saying has already been done. So Jesus was telling Peter at some point that him that is already washed doesn't need another washing, save for his feet. Are you getting the point? So I'm going to show you what it means. Because, okay, let's flow. As of this time, that one is fundamental. And there are two kinds of washing in this context. And it is representative of a mystery of the kingdom that is captured in those scriptures. And the revelation of that mystery will allow a man to enter into an experience. Such that even when Jesus was saying it, he knew that the man he was speaking to doesn't understand it. He said, the things I do now, you don't know, but he will know later.
It took many years for them to understand. In fact, it took the advent of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and things began to happen, and they were able to. I hope you know that the book of John, even though it's among the Gospels, was written in retrospect. Now, the man that wrote the book of John wrote it when everything has happened. In fact, the book of John was written many years after the other Gospels were written. So that when John came to the book of John chapter 11 or 12, he said, and Jesus cried on that great day, the final day of the feast, and he said, let him that thirst, let him come unto me and drink, so that out of his belly will what? Flow rivers of living water. The scripture said that this he spake, talking about the Holy Ghost that shall be given to them that believe. It is from here you will understand that whoever is speaking in the book of John is speaking in retrospect. He has seen the experience, and then he's writing from the standpoint of experiencing even those things that Jesus spoke about. So his accuracy and capacity to represent the truth is heightened, because he's speaking as a man that has already experienced the things that he spoke about. So his language, there is so much life and light in the words that are in the book of John. That was why his introduction was the deepest. As far as the whole scripture is concerned, the John is the greatest of all the prophets. Are you with me? We need to fly now. We have entered into the revelational part. If you have not been following us, you have to pray in tongues now so that you can follow us with your spirit. Now, this is what is happening. When John wrote, he said that which was from the beginning. When was the beginning? Even Moses didn't know where the beginning was. Moses started from creation. God created, but John traveled. He traveled to the eternal realm and fetched matters. It was there that he found out that there are beings entered into the uncreated order of things. But Moses started from the created order of things. So John needed to go to where the things that manifested were caused. So when he speaks, he will begin to say that which was from the beginning. Our eyes have seen, we have handled it of the word of life. So there are things that John spoke about. So this is what is happening here. He's speaking in retrospect, and he's saying that why not show me that part? When Jesus, Peter said to Jesus that wash all of my body, and Jesus told him, no, this is not a bathing competition. You have already been washed, and if it is true you are washed, you don't need another washing. And in there, Jesus is trying to make reference to the fact that the man that believes on him doesn't need to believe again. This is the concept, the representative dimension of that explanation you gave, that once the word has washed a man, there is no need for another washing. But this time around, there is another washing, and this washing is not the washing of the body, it's the washing of the feet. He said, the things I do, you don't know. And remember, when I started, I was referencing a matter, a context, and I asked a young man here, do you know what that word meant? I asked you, do you know what is really happening? Because the Bible said, after the supper, and it is representative of the fact that this encounter was happening after Jesus was about to die. He's rounding up his ministry. So he needed to put some things in place. There are certain adventures, certain encounters, certain programs and ceremonies that he conducted for his disciples. I need you to know that what is happening here is a spiritual ceremony. Do you know what is a spiritual ceremony? My sister, have you not gone for a wedding ceremony? What is happening there? What are they trying to do? To make two one. So for you, from that day, if you identify those two people as different entities, you are wrong. Are you with me? It is a ceremony that men and heaven have recognized. So we are trying to enact a sanction that all the earth will begin to respect hitherto, and the functionalities from them will take their tangent from the outcome of those ceremonies. It is a proof that from thenceforward, whatever men reckoned you with has is incorrect if they don't take cognizance of the impact of the spiritual ceremony. So whatever men call you after them, we have to take into account what became after the ceremony. So maybe you are, what's your name? Miss Emanuela. And then after the wedding, are you still Miss Emanuela? Anybody that calls her Miss Emanuela is looking for trouble. Because there was a ceremony that was conducted. Are you getting my point? And that ceremony has conferred on her a certain kind of title that men respect. So spiritual ceremonies are such that is conducted in the heavenly places to bring a new regime to men, so that the reference and the representation and even the function of those men from that time forward, we have to take cognizance to the fact that there was a ceremony that was conducted. And when those ceremony is conducted, men can be brought into plane, brought into baptisms, brought into interpretation, and all kinds of things will happen. And no one can speak about your life from thenceforward without looking at those matters. From there, you have become another man because of those ceremonies. When Jesus stood before John at that river Jordan, it was a ceremony. When they finished, a voice came from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved son." And a season came, another ceremony in that order was conducted. And when they finished, the voice came. He said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." He said what? "Hear ye him." From that day, anybody that made an attempt to hear God without hearing God through Christ is an error. That was why the scripture said in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. He said, "God, who has sundry times and diverse manners has spoken to us through the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us through his son, who is the brightest, the express image of his person." So from that day, even if you are the one that is speaking, we must hear Christ in your voice so that you will be correct. So that when they were on that mountain, and Peter said, "Let's build a tabernacle for Moses and build for Elijah." Because what he didn't know is that those are the three voices that ever spoke on behalf of God. So he's saying, let's still retain the capacity of three voices speaking for God. The Bible said that this Peter spake, not knowing what to say. Even though he was having an encounter, he lacked the capacity to interpret the import of those encounters. So he's saying, let's retain Moses. Meanwhile, that was the place, a ceremony where Moses and Elijah are being closed. And from then, it's only the Christ that will be heard. So from then, it's only the Christ that God can speak through. Are you getting the point now? It was a ceremony that Jesus was conducting here. Let's start from verse 13 quickly. Let's run through it. "He called me master and said, wherefore I am so, for so I am. If I then, your Lord..." No. Is this, let me find the verse. Is it? No. Verse 4, quickly. I need to consult two or more scriptures. Verse 4. "He riseth from the supper and laid aside his garment and took towel and girded himself." Follow me. "After that he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Follow. "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." You will see that Peter actually knew. Next verse. "Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, follow me. Remember, I told you to mark this. Jesus did not say, "Thou hast no part in me." He said, "Thou hast no part." What? They are not the same thing. So there is the part in me, which every man that believed in Christ Jesus participated in. But there is a part with me. I think you are already getting the picture. If I give you one more scripture, you will now get where we are going. Romans. Now, I will still go down, but just keep this one here. Go to verse 8. Okay. You know what will happen? You are holding your Bible. Put hand here in verse 8. Then turn to Romans quickly. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Show me my Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without" what? "A preacher." Then the next verse. "And how shall they preach except they be" what? Follow me. "Except they be" what? Let me hear your response, because we are about to hit something. "Except they be sent." He now said, "How beautiful are" what? Read after me. Let's read it together. One, two, ready, go. Now let me show you what is happening. Jesus was about to round off his ministry upon the face of the earth, and he needed this man that he has trained for 3 years to participate in that ministry. I need you to know that you don't have ministry. There is only one ministry we have. It is the ministry of the Christ. So for example, if he's in the fivefold, the Bible will begin to say in the book of Ephesians that when he went down, he rose and he led captivity captive and gave the gifts of men. He gave certain apostles, evangelists, preachers, prophets, whatever. Now I need you to know that these five offices are representative dimension of the ministry of the Christ. So when a man stands as a pastor, the horn of authority with which he functions is coming from the ascension realm. Do you know what it means? It means that Jesus ascended high. That's what the scripture said. And from high, he released you into your pastoral ministry. It is a proof that the gift of grace came from the ascension realm. Do you know what it means? It means that it is from where he was sitting that he released a man to be a pastor. That means it was him. Are you with me? When a man does his pastoral work well, it is still Jesus walking on the earth, still continuing his pastoral ministry. That was why what he was trying to reveal to this man. He said, what I do, you don't understand. I say, I'm rounding up my ministry, and we need this work to continue. How do we do it? Give me a small volume. How do we do it? When you come to campus, it's only one man that can stand for God. Come to church, one man. Come to the street, one man. We need to replicate that grace. That is what Jesus was saying. That after I've washed your feet, what will you do? You go and wash other people's feet. That is the grace of the baptizer. It is the baptizer anointing. There are three major layers of anointing that came on men as a result of the impact of the ministry that Jesus did. The interpreter grace, the baptizer grace. I want to stay on the baptizer grace because that is what the mystery of the feet washing captures. This is what is happening here. It is the feet of them that carry the gospel of grace. And Jesus is trying to tell them that except I wash that your feet, you have no part in me. You have no part with me. It is a representation of the fact that Jesus wants to include you in the work that he's doing. That his purpose is upon the face of the earth will not prosper except he gets you included in it. And the only way to get included in it is to what? Wash your feet. To baptize you into his grace. Baptize you into the dimensions of the functions of his ministry. So that even though you are still here and he's in heaven, his ministry is not lacking. Men can say Jesus is in heaven, but they are seeing you. You are the Jesus we know. What are you doing? I say, what are you doing? See, when you realize this thing, you will now know. You will now know what is hanging on our shoulders. You will stop sleeping too much and stop eating too much. Jesus left a mandate for us. He said, I wash your feet so that you have a part with me. Imagine if these guys went to sleep. That means Jesus will be stranded. Of course, he was stranded because many, many days later, he came back and met Peter. When Peter didn't see him, he said, I go back and fish. These men went back fishing because they did not understand the impact of what he was doing until the Holy Ghost came. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost to come upon lives, and then our eyes will be open to the mandate that is hanging on us. We must deliver. There has never been a generation like our own that God has released grace, revelation, insight, opened us to vistas of knowledge. Things that was never rampant in the generations past. We can encounter things, all kinds of things, so that we'll be equipped to enter into our ordination. Men marched through those places and they became nothing. They didn't know that it will be counted against us in the day of judgment. He said, even Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, let's go down. Go back to the book of John. I want to just one more scripture and then we pray. Now the scripture said, I speak not of you all. Go back. I speak not of you all. I speak not of you all. That's where I want to read. I speak not of you all. That's where I want to read. Okay. No, go back. Go back. When he said that one will betray, show me. Please help me to be fast. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye do well. This guy. Go back, go back, go back, go back. Jesus said in verse 10, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet. Are you getting the point? He's saying that, just as he said, him that is washed doesn't need any other washing except to empower him for ministry. So after a believer has been brought into Christ, there is another washing. So every believer should be baptized into ministry. There is no such thing as a civilian. You don't have civilian in a military cantonment. So when men are brought into the kingdom by that first washing, then there is another washing. Everyone that has been washed the first time doesn't need another washing except to empower them for ministry. That is what Jesus is saying. But it's clean every week, and ye are clean, but not all. Now follow. He said, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Now, do you know Peter later understood it? Let's see the book of Acts chapter 1. Then we close from there. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Now, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Remember where we are coming from. Where we are coming from said all of you are clean except one person. And the reason why the person was not clean is because they have already been making a reference to the fact that that man will be the one to betray Jesus. Now follow. Next verse. For he was numbered with us and had obtained what? Let me hear you. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. So the context here is what? Say ministry. He was numbered with us and has obtained a part of this. Now, read the next verse. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Next verse. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akadema. That is to say, the field of blood. Next verse. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishop prick, let another take. So this thing is saying that men, are you with me? We know you have been washed, but what about the ministry? That there is a capacity to bring men into ministry and to take the ministry away. How long have you stayed in church? I know you are a church kid. Are you not born in church? What do you know about what God intends you to do? Because it will determine how robust you are in the spirit. See, the price men pay for their destiny is dependent on what they have seen. There are many things you can do. It will still seem as if they are forcing you. If they say pray now, because I will tell you to pray in the next 2 minutes, if you see the way you are praying, it's a proof you don't know anything. You don't know. That's why you are praying like this. Some of you think you have time. How old are you? Are you up to 25? You still have time. You have, as a proper Israelite, you manifest when you are 30 years. So you have 5 years to waste. From 25, you have. If you are 20, you have 10 years. So continue wallowing and philandering. Continue moving up and down until you are 30. And then the day of your manifestation, you come, you don't have anything. That's how people will start moving from pillar to post, looking for false prophets everywhere. Meanwhile, all it takes for you to execute your destiny has been put in, is inside you. but you have never realized the ministry and the part you are supposed to have in it. I want you to pray. Sit down, don't stand up. I want you to pray in the next 3 minutes. Ask God to show me the part that I'm supposed to play in this Monday. Show me the part. Show me the part. Show me the part. Show me the part. If you pray this prayer well, then God will answer you. If you pray this prayer from the depth of your heart, then God will answer you. Tell him to show you the part, the part, the part, the part, the part, the part, the part. Ask Jesus to wash your feet. Bring you to into experiences of the part you are supposed to play. Pray until something happens. Until an awareness, an encounter breaks forth. Ambratosa sabante di akabarahata. Simahambre la kapanta patahata. Sipatakiata pepenata di bakua. Apakambre tasata banata. Show me! Hayebemo. Oh! Samihambre takapatata. Simahambre takatia. Have Jesus washed your feet? Do you have a part in the ministry? Are you empowered? Are you equipped? Do you know why you are here? Are you sent? Abradosa Samantha Biakata Bante Zibra Kapatoka Panda Brata Pataha Zapata Kamura. Somebody pray in the next 3 minutes. Susa Bahata Tambrato Kapatalia Debebrente Shakapata Riapata Boska Ambrekota Kapanante Diaparata Asapante Papakwata Aide Bedeko Lapahambre Isapata Kapatania Rapatia Kambre Tapara. You are not praying Kapia Kapata. Kapataka papakuta kapatakata isakapande kapadambe aikapakuata kapandapata. Show me my part. Aya pekola ambra kapeya kapatapahata mambre kapatapanaha ambete kuata kapanaha mantepetelia kapiata pakambre asopatapahata. Ask God to show you your partner. Aitapena kambre aikola pahasa aikapena hambra patakambre tapahapanta makamba pakatakabrata sakatakapatakikatabalatia. Somebody cry. Hey. Oh. 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 Hey. 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 Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Something must happen to you that your generation will know. Something heavy. By the time you are leaving this program, something heavy, tangible. Men will bear witness. affect my life, freedom me. Somebody cry.
I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life.
Don't leave me like this.
Affect my life, freedom me.
I'm tired.
Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life.
Something must happen. Something heavy. Something.
Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, we look to you for life. Affect our lives, freedom us. Lord, we look to you for life.
Sister, cry.
Affect my life, freedom me.
There is more about my life. There is more about my life. My brother, cry. Cry. There is more. There is more. There is more.
Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, freedom me.
Have my heart.
You are Holy Ghost. 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 Take your place. Have your way in my life. Take your place. Have your way. Take your place. Have your way.
Pray.
Take your place. Have your way. You are Holy Ghost. You are Holy. You are Holy Ghost. 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 You are Holy Ghost,
God.
You are Holy Ghost,
God.
You are Holy Ghost. Take your place. Have your ways. Take your place. Have your ways. Take your place. Have your way. Take your place.